at the back. Is that? I guess I'll put these at the back.
Throw sheets. I'll just introduce you for a moment.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone else need copies? Oh, great. Okay.
Okay, welcome everyone. Like I said in our introduction, take the opportunity to thank Rabbi Rosenbaum and Shomer Emuna, not just in general for their wonderful partnership. In particular, you know, today's program is, you know, in scope and space and time. It's very extensive. So we thank the shul in particular for being so wonderful and hosting us and all over the shul. Just take the opportunity to thank Rabbi Rosenbaum for his personal friendship, and for being a tremendous role model to me, and for being just a tremendous partner for the call and all that his leadership and guidance in the community. I got some shaylos allocated with Rabbi Rosenbaum that the hamantashen, even though it's 30 days before Purim, it's mutter to eat them after careful halachic debate. Okay, so nobody has to feel guilty about partaking of that. No, you're good to go, right, Rabbi Rosenbaum?
Yeah. If I would have known there was hamantashen, I wouldn't be here right now. I thought there was just fruit, that's why I came here around
time. Okay, without further ado, it's my great honor to call Rabbi Rosenbaum.
Thank you very much. And I just, I really, really want to thank Rabbi Winter and the Kollel, of course, for the personal friendship and, of course, for what they do throughout the year. But I think this program was uniquely creative and helpful, and a tremendous amount of work went into it. So thank you very, very much. Thank you. Does anyone else need copies? Okay. When I was graciously invited to share some thoughts for this Yom Iyun, this topic came to my mind very, very quickly. It came to my mind quickly because the truth is, it is an extremely common challenge. It's an extremely common challenge. I certainly don't pretend to have an expertise in this area, but I thought for myself as a rabbi, and to be honest, as a parent, maybe a parent a little bit earlier on the road, but I did think this would be something worthwhile to look into. Obviously, everyone has different challenges. Every person is different. Every family is different. If heaven forbid I say anything which is in any way remotely offensive or hurtful to anyone, you have my apologies ahead of time, and I certainly hope I'm not guilty of that. And I really figured we would just learn through some ideas together. What I don't plan on doing this morning is giving practical advice. I don't know that I'm in a position to give practical advice, and everyone's different anyway, so it would be silly. But more reflecting on some ideas. What I would like to do is I would like to go through a certain amount and then stop and say, we'll open for questions, comments now, depending on the time. I might cut it short at some point and then keep on going. So I guess I would ask people, if you have thoughts as we go, to just hold them, and God willing, every probably 10 minutes or so, I'll probably give another opportunity. So I think they'll be the most productive. So it wasn't difficult for me to come up with the idea of what to talk about. But what was difficult for me was, what in the world am I supposed to say about that topic? And I didn't have to think long before realizing that this is an issue that comes up with the Avos and Imahos, with the patriarchs and matriarchs. It comes up with the first two generations of Klal Yisrael. Avraham had a son, Yishmael, and Yitzchak and Rivka had a son, Esav. Yishmael, it's a little bit more complicated as to what exactly the issues are. We'll see a source or two over here in terms of what the issues were with Yishmael. But the bottom line is, Sarah, this great righteous woman, said to Avraham, we've got to get this fellow out of our house because Lo Yirash ben Ha'amazos im b'ni im Yitzchak. I can't have this young man inheriting along with my son Yitzchak. So something in some way means we can't have him in the same household as Yitzchak. I mean, that's the simple meaning. So clearly there was something bad about Yishmael. That's clear. Esav, it's a little bit more clear. Esav was the one who sold the birthright in exchange for porridge or soup or whatever exactly it was. Esav is the one who said he was going to kill his brother and seems to have actually meant it, by the way. Many people say they're going to kill their brother, but Esav seems to really have meant it. And so it's a little bit more apparent in the psukim. But I think there'd be some interesting lessons to go through how the Avos and Imos dealt with the issues in their own households, in their own families. And honestly, when I began to prepare, I thought to myself, okay, that'll be like the springboard for other discussion. And I found enough things that really that's what I'd like to focus on this morning. Lessons learned from Avram and Sarah and Yitzchak and Rivka regarding their children, Yishmael and Esav. And I think if we can focus on that, I think there'll be a lot to learn. Just to make sure we all begin on the same point, and I apologize that there's only Hebrew in the handouts. I really didn't have the time to put English together in an appropriate way, but those only comfortable with English, I apologize, but surely I'll translate as we go. First source, this is a famous, it's one of our first episodes with Avraham Avinu. The angels come to greet Avraham. Vielha, and he tells them he's going to take care of them. And this is when we see Avraham Avinu is going to do a remarkable job of achnasas orchim, of greeting the guests. Vielha bakar rots Avraham. Avraham ran to the cattle. Vayikach ben bakar rach vatov. He took a fine, tender animal. Vayitein al anar. And he gave the animal to the child. Vayimaher lasososo. And he acted quickly to work on it. Who is the child? Says Rashi, el hanar ze Yishmael. This child was Yishmael, l'chancho b'mitzvos. Avraham Avinu wants to educate Yishmael in the way of mitzvos. So Avraham Avinu is going to do achnasas orchim, and as we would imagine, Avraham Avinu doesn't do it on his own. Sorry, Meinu doesn't do it on her own. Avram's going to bring Yishmael in. So if we're beginning in the frame by frame, oh, this is so beautiful. Avraham is raising a child to do achnasas orchim. It's exactly as we would expect it. Not that much further in the Chumash, two or three chapters later. This is at the party, Biyom Higomel Es Yitzchak, on the day that Yitzchak is weaned. Vatera Sarah es Panagara Mitzris es Yodoli Avraham Mitzachik. Sarah sees the son of Hagar, which we must note. Obviously, the equation for Yishmael in terms of dealing with the situation is significantly different than the equation for Esav, because the parent of Yishmael is not the same. The mother of Yishmael is not the mother of Yitzchak, whereas the mother of Esav is the mother of Yaakov. So it's different. But in any event, Sarah sees this son of Hagar, Asher Yodoli Avraham Mitzachei. She sees this child who had been born to Avram, literally translated laughing. That's what it literally means. We're going to have to understand what the big problem was with laughter. Vatomer le'Avraham, Sarah said to Avraham, Garesh ha'mo'azos v'yespina. Expel this maidservant and her son, get them out of here. Kilo yirash ben ho'amo azos im b'niyim Yitzchak. Because this fellow cannot inherit along with my son Yitzchak. At the time, Yishmael is a young man. Get him out of here. Rashi says, the famous Rashi, Mitzachek, Loshon avodas elilim. Clearly, it doesn't just mean she saw him laughing. What's the big deal about laughing? So Rashi says, she saw him doing idol worship. In the context of the golden calf, the pasuk talks about they rose up to laugh, and that's understood as being worshiping the golden calf. So here, laughter means avodah zarah, idol worship. Another pshat, davarachir, lashon giloy arayos, kamad teimel letzachik. There's another pasuk that letzachik could be a language. This is in the story of Yosef and Potiphar. Could be a language of inappropriate sexual relations. Maybe that's what she saw with Yishmael. Davarachir, another pshat, lashon ritzicha. It's a language of murder. Kamad teima yakumu nahar haniyarim vischaku lefaneinu. You have a pasuk that talks about playing. That is a language of murder. So whatever exactly it was, we have three ideas: either avodah zarah, inappropriate sexual relations, or murder. She sees Yishmael doing something terrible, and she compels Avram to expel him from the house. This lovely child, who Avram trained in achnasas orchim, is doing, at least according to the Medrash, one of the cardinal sins. And this is Avraham. Avraham Avinu, it's his job to make everybody else from. And it's not working with his own child. Think of the pain that must have brought him. And one verse that surely so many parents in Klal Yisrael can relate to this verse. Like, I need to give you the context of this verse. Hashem tells Avraham that Yitzchak that the child will be born to him, Yitzchak, and this child will be Avram's heir apparent. You know what Avram says? Vayomer Avraham Elo Elokim. Avram said to God, Lu Yishmael Yechiel Lefanecha. Lu is understood as like halavai, like if it could only be that Yishmael would live before you. Says Rashi, what does it mean, should live before you? Yechiel B'yiraschah, should live in reverence of you, should live in service of you. So this is great, everything you're telling me, there's going to be miraculous birth. Could we just get Yishmael from, could it just be, now for context, this pasuk happened before the pasuk about Mitzachek, but you're saying so much about Yitzchak, what's going to be with Yishmael? Couldn't we just have Yishmael be observant? So this just sets the tone for what we're going to talk about today from the perspective of Avraham Avinu and from the perspective of Yitzchak Avinu in terms of his son Esav. I didn't feel the need to cite you Pesukim because it's much more explicit in the verses. Just so we're all starting in the same place, what's particularly striking in the story of Yitzchak and Esav is, of course, the idea that Esav was the firstborn. Yitzchak was ready to give a special blessing to his firstborn. And sure enough, who was Yitzchak ready to give the blessing to? Esav. And so we're going to talk about that a certain amount today. Why he was ready to give the bracha to Esav, and to what extent he did understand what was going on with Esav. We're going to have different ideas. But we're going to focus on Avram's relationship with Yishmael and Yitzchak and Rivka's relationship with Esav. The one other disclaimer I have to give you is much of what we're going to say today is a little bit off the beaten path in terms of it's from classical sources, but it's not the normal pshat. So if you hear something say, I didn't think that was what happened, you're remembering correctly, this is just another pshat. So don't be too scandalized by anything we say. Any comments, questions, just in terms of this, just focus on Yishmael and Esav. Any comments before we go on? Okay. So I'd really like to break up the rest of our discussion into two sections. One is how to view it, and the other is a little bit of strategies. Not really practical strategies, more philosophy and strategies. Okay. We just cited before the pasuk that Sarah saw Yishmael laughing. And Rashi brought down three possibilities as what laughing meant. Idol worship, inappropriate sexual relations, or murder. I'd like to share with you a Tosefta that's not often quoted. Amar Reb Shimon ben Yochai, Arba Dvarim Haya Reb Akiva Doresh, Udvarai Nirin Midvarav. Reb Shimon ben Yochai says there are four things that Reb Akiva taught lessons about, and certainly with all due respect, I'm inclined to go like my view over his view. Darash Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Akiva taught the following. Vateiras Aras Benagara Metzris Asher Yoldoli Avraham Mitzachek. He cited the pasuk that Sarah saw Yishmael laughing. And Rebbe Akiva said, Ein Tzchok Amurkan El Avodas Kochavim. Rebbe Akiva said it refers to idol worship. Okay, I'm on the second page now under the heading, It Happens to the Best. And then, as we saw in Rashi, there are other opinions too. But Rabbi Akiva was the first opinion that said, oh yeah, it means he was doing something really terrible, a really terrible sin. Says Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Vani Omer Chas V'Shalom Shia Bebeso Shal Oso Tzadik Ahu Kach. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, heaven forbid that a young man growing up in Avram's house would be doing idol worship. Could it really be? Efshar l'mi shenem our love. About Avram, it said, ki yidatev l'man asher yitzaveh, when Hashem is deciding to disclose to Avram that he's going to destroy the city of stone, it says, I have to tell Avram about this, because Avram is really special, because I know he's a person who will instruct his children and his household after him to follow the way of God. So God says this about Avram Avinu, and it's recorded in the Torah. Says Reb Shimon ben Yochai, if that's who Avram is, not only as a servant of God, but as a parent, could such terrible sins be taking place in his house? So I don't agree with any of those things you saw in Rashi, says Reb Shimon ben Yochai. Ela ein tzchok ha'omer kan, Ela Inyan Yerusha. Just an interesting pshat to think about for a moment. The laughter that we're talking about here relates to inheritance. Shek Shenolad Avinu, Yitzchak L'Avram Avinu, Hayu Akol Smeichin. So when Yitzchak is born, remember that Sarah saw Yishmael laughing, whatever that meant. Sarah saw Yishmael laughing at the party to celebrate the weaning of Yitzchak. Everyone was so excited. V'yomerim, they said, Nolad Ben L'Avraham. Oh, wow, Avram has had this child. Nochel es ha'olam, he's inherited the world. V'notel shnei chalakim, he's going to get the primary portion of Avram's inheritance. V'yishmael metzachek bedato, and Yishmael was laughing when everyone's saying, essentially, wow, Yitzchak's going to be the heir apparent to Avram. V'omer al tehi shotim. Yishmael was saying, don't be so foolish. Ani b'chor v'ani notel shnei chalakim. Yishmael said, I'm firstborn. I'm the main person in the next generation. Shemetshuvas hadovra atalomeid, ki lo yirash benu amoazos. So Reb Shimon Bar Yochai says, I'll tell you why I'm right, because what does Sarah say? Sarah doesn't just say, we got to get Yishmael out of the house. She says, that one is not going to inherit with my son. So Reb Shimon Bar Yochai says, so you see, Yishmael is talking about inheritance. So what it's not that he's committing any sins, it was his attitude. He said that he's going to be the main standard bearer. My Yitzchak is going to be the main standard bearer. That's what Reb Shimon Bar Yochai says. My point here is not Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's pshat. My point is Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's question on the other pshatim. His question on the other pshatim is, oh, come on. It's Avram Avinu. There's no way Avram Avinu had a child that was doing Avodah Zarah. Come on. So if Rabbi Akiva, who said he did have a child who was doing Avodah Zarah, if Rabbi Akiva was sitting here, what would Rabbi Akiva say to that? You know what Rabbi Akiva said? I'll tell you what Rabbi Akiva would say to that. That's life. So my point is, the very fact that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai has this question, it can't be, and other rabbis who certainly knew that pasuk said it anyway, that means that the question can never be asked, according to the vast majority of opinions. So listen, we all make mistakes in life. There's no such thing as a perfect servant of God. There's no such thing as a perfect parent. But for a person to say to themselves, if my child does X or doesn't do Y, I must, what does that say about me? Humbly, I would ask you, what do you think it says about Avraham? Because it happened in Avraham's house too. And that doesn't mean that we can't be better. All of us can be better. But all I'm saying is the fact that the results are not what we're hoping for doesn't necessarily mean that it's a statement on us, as we wouldn't say it's a statement on Avram not being a wonderful person. And Avram's the very person that God says, I have to reveal things to him because I know what he's going to do with the next generations. I just think that's a very important thing, the beginning of such a discussion, to recognize it could happen to an Avram Avinu, and it could happen to a Yitzhak and a Rebbe. Just to state the obvious for a moment, God creates all types of challenges in this world. And for many of us, one of the greatest challenges of our lifetime is this very issue. But the fact that we have a challenge doesn't mean that we're lacking as a person. Could very well be. The fact that we have a certain challenge is the greatest proof that God sees great potential in us. And there are certain types of challenges. I don't know about any of you. Every now and then I hear about a certain family that's undergoing some kind of challenge, and whatever it is. And many times I say to myself, wow, they must really be remarkable people, because I don't think that kind of challenge will be given to a run-of-the-mill person. And perhaps that's the pshat in many of our situations also. Just to think about that. Okay, so that's one point. Second point, things can change. Really interesting Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Avraham has sent Yishmael and Hagar away. And in the end of the day, Yishmael is Avraham's son. Listen to this Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. This is a Medrash as follows. La'achar shalosh sonim. After 3 years, Halach Avram Lirosas Yishmael Beno. Avram went, he wanted to go see his son Yishmael. V'nishba l'sara shlo yered me'al ha'gamal b'makum she'ishmael sharoi taman. Listen to this line. Abram swore to Sarah that he wouldn't get off the camel in the place that Yishmael was. In other words, he's going to go visit Yishmael, but he's not going to linger. She made him swear to him that he wasn't going to linger because she's nervous. She's nervous he's going to try to bring Yishmael back home. And she, as Yitzchak's mother, says that's not okay. V'igia l'sham b'chatzi ayom. And he reached wherever Yishmael is living halfway through the day. Umatza sham es ishto shel Yishmael. He gets to Yishmael's home and he finds Yishmael's wife. Amar la, he said to her, Heichan hu Yishmael. Where is Yishmael? Amra lo, she said to him, Halach hu v'imo la v'peiros u'tmar min ha-midbar. They went shopping. They went, maybe not exactly, but they went to the desert to get fruit and dates. They went. They're on an errand. They're not here. Amar la, Avram said to his daughter-in-law, Tzni li mat lechem umayim. Please give me some bread and water. Ki oifanav shi miderech hamidbar. I'm wiped out. I've gone on a trip to the desert. Could you please give me some bread and water? Amra lo ein li lechem velo mayim. She said to him, sorry, don't have any. Just think. Besides the fact that this is his daughter-in-law, besides the fact that he had to argue, I shouldn't have said argue, we don't know that, but he had to negotiate on some level with his wife to even go to visit his son. What's Avram Avinu famous for? What did Avram Avinu, we saw the Rashi Avram Avinu when Yishmael was a boy, he brought out Yishmael to do it with him. And now he himself shows up and his daughter-in-law doesn't have bread and water for him. Think of the pain. Amar la, kishiyavo Yishmael, hagidulo asadvarim halalu. He says, you know, do me a favor. Could you relay the following message to Yishmael? There's a whole thing that he says. It seems to be some kind of code message that he gave to Yishmael. And the gist of the code, I don't even have it here, but the gist of the code seems to have been more or less, this is not how I raised you. The Imri Lon, please tell him, Zakein Echad, Me'eretz Knan ba Liroscha. Tell him, an old man from Knan came to see you. V'yomar chalaf miftan beis chasheina tovalach. And the old man said, maybe change your doorway, it's not good for you. The meaning, of course, is the manner in which someone was greeted at your door. U'kshibo Yishmael min ha-midbar. So Yishmael comes back from his errand. Higidilo esadvar malalu. His wife tells him these things. Uben chacham kachatzi chacham. It's a good line. The son of a wise person, it's like half a wise person. So basically, he grew up in a wise man's home. You could pick up on a hint. I assure you that if at least one of my children was sitting here right now, he would say to me, Abba, it's such a shame you're not a wise person. But okay. Vehaven Yishmael. V'shalcha imo v'lakchalo isha mibeis avia p'tima shema. And Yishmael understood. And Hagar assisted Yishmael in finding a new wife. V'yoda acher shalosh shanim halach Avram liroses Yishmael b'no. It was 3 years later. Avram goes back again to see his son Yishmael. He made the same oath to Sarah. He's not going to get off the camel. He's going to go to visit Yishmael, but he's not going to linger. He asks himself, what's he going to... Obviously, they're not having regular communication. He doesn't know what he's going to find. He might have the exact same experience. And he got there in the middle of the day. And yet again, he finds Yishmael's wife. The Amar Lan, he says to her, Heichan hu Yishmael, where is Yishmael? Amra lo, hu v'imo hochu liros ha-sakamalim b'midbar. They went to graze the camels in the desert. They're out on another errand. Amar lo, Avram says to a different woman, who also seems to be his daughter-in-law. Tni li mat lechem umayim. Kiyofa nafshi miderech hamidbar. Could you please give me some bread and water because I'm wiped out from traveling in the desert? Votzia lechem umayim v'nasna lo. And she brought him bread and water. Amar Avraham v'yim spal lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu al b'no. Avram stood up and davened before God for his son. V'nismali beiso shel Yishmael mikol tov m'min ha-brachos. And the house of Yishmael was filled up of all good from all of the different blessings. K'sheba Yishmael higidolo es hadavar. When Yishmael came, his wife tells him what happened. V'yada Yishmael sharach shav rachmei aviv alav k'rachim aval bonim. And then Yishmael knew that his father still had compassion for him like a parent for a child. It's a very interesting medrash. It's a very interesting medrash. This idea, this pain of Avram Avinu in seeing so clearly that his son was not following in some of the core aspects of the home in which he was raised, at least for part of the time. And yet the fact that things changed. Things did change. And this is, of course, something that is so, so important to reflect on and to always believe in the possibility of. I just want to share two things with you. One thing, as some of you who hear me speak more often might know, I have the great zchus to be involved with a Beis Din for conversion. And you meet all kinds of people and all kinds of interesting stories. And you know, I mean, obviously this is not the common occurrence, but every now and then we meet someone who grew up in a frum home and is married to someone who isn't Jewish. And they've gone together on a journey. You never know. You never know. And it happens. It really happens. I want to just one more source, and I want to share another story from an earlier time. Avram dies. This is a pasuk in the Chumash. Now, I really should have numbered the pages. I'm on the third page. There's on the third line of the page, there's Bracious Chafei. If people see that, apologize for not numbering. Vaigva. Vayamas Avraham b'seiva tova. Avram passed away. He died b'seiva tova. B'seiva tova is a very interesting phrase. Seiva means old age. Seiva tova, like a good old age. But something about that phrase, particularly for the Chumash, connotes that things were well. Zakein v'saveya, he was old, he was satiated, he had lived a full life. Vayosef elamav, and he was gathered to his people. Next pasuk. Vayikperu also Yitzchak v'Yishmael bonav. Yitzchak and Yishmael buried him. So there's two things that jump out at you. One is Yishmael was there. That's one thing. But the other thing is, to the extent that Yishmael was there, whose name should have been mentioned first? Presumably, Yishmael was older. So it says Yitzchak's name first. What does that mean? Why is that? El Maras HaMachpelah, of course, they buried him in Maras HaMachpelah, the famous burial place. El Stei Ephron Ben Sochar Achiti. Asher Pnei Mamre, the field of Ephron ben Socher. Look at this Rashi. Yitzchak v'Yishmael, Mikan she'asa Yishmael tshuva. This shows that Yishmael repented. V'holiches Yitzchak l'fanav. That Yishmael, by the way, think of it in light of that medrash with Reb Shimon bar Yochai. We weren't so into that pshat. But his whole pshat was, he said, you know, who says I'm the main one? I'm the main man. Who is this Yitzchak? I'm the firstborn. He had changed his approach. And he had Yitzchak go first. And that's why it says Yitzchak's name first. V'hi seiva tova shenemar be'Avraham. And that's what it means by Avram Avinu, that he died b'seiva tova. We're in a good old age, meaning that as when he finally left this world, he actually was leaving this world knowing that Yishmael was different than he had been. And Yishmael had changed as a person. You never know. You never know. So the first thing to always remember is not necessarily a statement about me as a person or a parent. That's number one. Number two is, one can never give up. One never knows. To share with you a very interesting story. I've seen it quoted in many places. As one can imagine, after the Six-Day War, there was a remarkable tshuva movement in Israel. Somebody came to the Stipler Gaon. It was a famous rabbinic personality in Israel at the time. And I don't remember the details of the question, but the gist of the question was, what do you make of this? What do you make of that? Like, it's amazing. You know, obviously, one could see why events of the Six-Day War would inspire a tshuva movement, but do you have any deeper perspective? And he said something very interesting. He said, you know, there were all these children with their parents, who left Europe at a time where there were so many families that were from, and there were such good reasons to ask oneself, why would I want to identify with Judaism? Or where is God? So many of those children went on a different path than in the homes they had been raised. Stifler said that he believes that the tfilos of those parents, that their children should yet again be reignited with the fire of authentic Yiddishkeit, was answered in their grandchildren's lives. And that he wondered if obviously the Six-Day War was a tremendous kindness from God in its own right, but he wondered if some of the tshuva movement was the prayer of grandparents. And he said, and maybe they didn't even have grandchildren in mind when they said those tefillos. Maybe they had their children in mind. But you just never know. You never know for the individual. You never know for the individual's children. You never know. Okay. One more idea. Bechira, free will. Look at this. Is a quote from Michtav Me'Eliyahu, Rav Eliyahu Dessler. I'm on the middle of the third page under the heading of Bechira. Ach ze barur, this is clear. Shalom nolad Esav lios Rasha. I mean, Esav was not born to be a wicked person. I mean, that wasn't the plan. It wasn't the plan that Esav would be a wicked person. Af shematzanu bo kama tchunos hamaros al hishkas rusho litzara hester vara. Really? You sure Esav wasn't supposed to be a wicked person? He seemed to do a lot of wicked things. Kol Elam, on the second line, now near the end of the line, Kol Ela, Eina Morim, Ela al Tokef Huavoda, Shehaisa Miwet Eslo. The fact that he did certain inappropriate things, Esav, speaks to the mission and challenges laid out ahead of him. Ki bekoach bechiruso hayayocho lisgaber al kol kochos hara. Esav had the ability and the right and the privilege to make the right choices. Esav had bechira. Esav had free will. Vayayocho lisalos bemidas hagvura. Esav could have become remarkable in the character trait of self-discipline. L'me'ein madre gaso shel Yitzchak. He could have been akin to Yitzchak. Yitzchak, the one who was willing to give up his life. Again, the image of Akedas Yitzchak. Yitzchak was very much an adult when Avram was ready to sacrifice him. Yitzchak was ready to be killed on the altar because that's what Avram said was appropriate. Esav could have had that discipline, that devotion to the service of God that Yitzchak did. It was his father. Ki le'umas kochos hara. Because matching up to his more negative inclinations, kibel gam kochos hagvura, he also inherited abilities of strength, kedeli lachem bohem, in order to grapple with his own more negative inclinations. Umishum ze chivivo Yitzchak. And that's why Yitzchak had such great affection for him. Remember the famous thing, it says in the Pasuk, that Yitzchak had this special affection for Esav. V'kirvo elav. Yitzchak brought Esav close to himself. K'dei l'sayo b'derech avodazu, to help him along this path. Shehi hoisa gam darko. Yitzchak intuitively understood that Esav's makeup, we have this, we know that some of our children might be more similar to us in certain ways. And Yitzchak intuitively understood that Esav's path in life was going to be very similar, or it could be very similar to Yitzchak's own spiritual path in life. V'zeu gam gedra bracha sheratz l'varech, and that's what the blessing that he was that he thought he was giving Esav was all about. This giving him strength to sort of make the right decisions and utilize the discipline character appropriately. V'lochein kasuv, and therefore it says in the pasuk, v'yehav Yitzchak es Esav. It says in the pasuk that Yitzchak had a special affection for Esav, and clearly the connotation is he had a greater affection for Esav than for Yaakov. So everybody looks at this, and again, the traditional understanding is that Esav sure did a good deal on Yitzchak, and he was all confused, and he tricked him, and that's definitely the standard approach. Rav Dessler suggests something else. Ki ava, he told us nesina. We say this so much in other contexts. People talk about a lot at Shavuot Brachos and the like, but the greatest way to give a greater sense of love, to attain a greater sense of love, is to give a person more. The more I give a person, the more I love the person. You know, I'm reminded there's a beautiful, beautiful story told that there was a person who had a child with special needs, and the person was very proud of the fact that he and his wife had done such good work on this child that if you didn't know it, you'd walk into a room and you wouldn't even know that the child had any special needs. And the person was very proud of himself, and he was having a guest over Friday night, and he said, I'm going to tell you that one of my children has very unique special needs, and I'm going to challenge you to figure out which child it is. You'll share the dinner with us, and you tell me afterwards if you can figure it out. So,
that sound like a good idea.
Well, I'm not sure. Maybe this should have been discussed in one of the other parenting talks, but whatever it is. So in any, but the story goes as follows. He's sure the person's not going to be able to tell. Comes up to me after benching. He says, could you tell? He says, oh yeah. He says, which one was it? He says, that one. You know, whatever. Says his name. He was absolutely right. So the father is flabbergasted. He says, how did you tell? He says to him, you lingered on him longer at the bracha that you gave your children, longer than any of your other children. I couldn't tell from his own conduct. I could tell from your conduct. And so that's a mashal for what he's talking about. You know what it means? Vayav Yitzchak es Esav kitzayit befiv, that Yitzchak had this special love for Esav. It means that Yitzchak understood Esav's challenge, because in a certain way, Esav's challenge was similar to Yitzchak's challenge. And Yitzchak succeeded marvelously at his challenge. But he sort of knew what it took to help Esav in that challenge. And he put sort of a certain amount of extra energy into it. And, unfortunately, it wasn't the results that Yitzchak was hoping for. And you know why it wasn't the results that Yitzchak was hoping for? The point of this discussion is, I should have underlined it on your thing. I underlined it on my thing. Koach b'chiruso. Third line, middle of the line. Free will. Esav had free will. Yitzchak had free will. And you know what? They exhibited their free will differently. And a parent can do everything perfectly. I mean, no, not perfectly, because none of us do it perfectly. But a parent can do everything as close to perfect as possible. And you know what? It still might not work out the right way, because the child has their own free will. We always have to remember that. Okay, so in terms of broader perspective, we spoke about that we should never beat up on ourselves, because these giants of the world had problems like this. We spoke about the fact that we never know when it'll turn around, and we spoke about the fact that we have to remember that there's free will. I am short on time. I want to get through this. I meant to stop for comments now, but maybe we'll keep on going, and hopefully there'll be time at the end. I apologize. Okay. So The next few things I would like to talk about, again, these are sort of like big picture, not small picture, but sort of strategies a little bit, just things to think about. Patience. Patience. I'm at the bottom of the third page under the heading patience. So you ever ask yourself, I mean, God tells Avram, listen to Sarah. Sarah tells Avram, expel that child from our home. Avram doesn't want to. God says, listen to her. Okay, so obviously he's supposed to, what he does. If God says, he listens. So what is it? It's not that Sarah's being harsh because God says she's right. So what is it? Is it Avram's a softy? What is it? So the Gur Aryeh, the Maral, has an interesting comment over here. Umash Avram lo hikbid al masav. Avram doesn't seem so particular about Yishmael's actions. Nira shebevadai hoyamocha. Of course it bothered him what Yishmael was doing. You think he didn't know that his son was doing avodah zarah and this, that? He saw it. He definitely would object. Ela savur sheyachzor b'tshuva. He always said to himself, you know what? Maybe he'll turn it around. Maybe he'll turn it around. He's addressing the question of why didn't Avram want to expel Yishmael. Maybe he'll turn it around. Ulekach lo girsho. And that's why he didn't want to throw Yishmael out. Avosara yada beruach hakodesh desofu al kalpanim lates latarbus ra. But Sarah knew, the pasuk says, Hashem says to Avram, listen to the voice of Sarah. And Rashi says over there, to her divine inspiration. So he says, it's not that Avram was wrong, it's that Sarah happened to have divine inspiration that it wasn't going to work. But lacking divine inspiration, which I certainly don't have, and I think my wife doesn't have either, but I don't want to be disrespectful to her. This is an interesting source for the value of great patience. And obviously there are challenges sometimes. Sometimes a child might have a very significant impact on other children in the home. Sometimes we have to figure out, we have to figure it all out. But looking at the child in a vacuum for a second, Avram's approach, which wasn't wrong, just Sarah was more informed, uniquely informed. Avram's approach was, I never know when I'll turn around. I'll always leave that door open. And that seems to be a very valuable approach. Okay. Next thing.
How do we manifest?
I think every situation is different in that regard. But I think it's some people, I think, feel that they need to, if their child acts in an inappropriate way, they need to close the door. And I guess what I'm trying to bring out is that it seems that we're taught that that's not encouraged. And, you know, I'm sorry, how to exactly manifest, I think everyone finds their own way to do it. I think so. Seeing positives. Next page, it's the fourth page. So, again, this is the famous question. What did Yitzchak think about Esav? Well, how did he think it was going with Esav? Yitzchak was ready to give this bracha to Esav. The Akedah says as follows. Ach b'chozos lo nela mimenu derech Esav. Yitzchak knew what Esav was. He wanted to give him opportunities to do mitzvos, to do good things. That's the way of God himself with people who aren't complete. Like in Egypt. What did we have going for us when we left Egypt? Klal Yisrael, sorry to use the Pesach word, but what did Klal Yisrael have going for them in the Egypt story? So God gave us good things to do. God gave us a mitzvah of Korban Pesach. God gave us a mitzvah of Bris Milah. Because that's what you do when you see someone with some potential and they're not complete. So that was Yitzchak's perspective towards Esav. It's not that he was in the dark. He got the story. Not everyone agrees with this, but at least with one approach. He got the story, but he said to himself, if I keep on giving him positive opportunities, maybe he'll springboard from that. Skip the next source because it's late. Shem Mishmuel. Ubaze Yeshlom Ratam Sharotzi Yitzchak Avinu Lavarichas Esav. This is why Yitzchak wants to give Esav a bracha. Afshay Yoser Sadik Me Esav.
My gosh, you're going to give the bracha to Esav? Yaakov's such a better person than Esav. Ach kavanoso hoisa lohoyeres einav. He wanted to light up the eyes of Esav. Idea brachos vakedusha shiyachnis bo. Shiyoda ma'ishleimuso. Shiyeda ma'ishleimuso. He was hoping the bracha would be a portal to him to see more clarity. He saw, it's not that he thought Esav was perfect, he knew Esav wasn't perfect, but he was hoping the bracha would be a tool to help Esav grow. And that's, to see things in that light. Okay. Want to see one more source, and then I'll share a story with you, and then we'll open it up to any comments. And at 1:30, people should feel absolutely free to leave, even if we're taking comments. Last source on this page, the power of love. So we've spoken about being patient, not necessarily drawing lines of if you do this, then we'll never have anything to do with you anymore. We've spoken about that. We've spoken about seeing the potential in the person, even though they're leading their life in a way so different than we had hoped. One more thing. Vayev Yitzchak is Esav. Again, Yitzchak has this great love for Esav. This is from a Medrash. It's a pasuk, but the next lines are from the Medrash. V'chilo hayu avinu Yitzchak yodea b'masa Esav shein ku'urin. Did Yitzchak not know that Esav's conduct was inappropriate? V'akasuv omer alom b'sanech Hashem esla. David HaMelech says in Tehillim that God, people who hate you, I'll hate people who hate you. So if Yitzchak is indeed a pious person, doesn't it bother him that Esav is doing this, then, and the other? Why did he have this great affection for him? Ella, shaya oavo befanav bovad. You know what it means that he loved him, and like it emphasizes the pasuk that he loves him, implying that he loved him more than he loved Yaakov. He showed him a lot of love. Kedei lekarvo, to bring him close, ulamashcho, and to pull him closer. Shari kalvachomer impshu oavo masav mukulkalin. So when he's smiling at him in the morning, if he's doing not right things, what's going to happen if he snarls at him in the morning? It's not going to be an improvement. Again, sometimes we need to know when to say something harsh. That's also important. But as a broad picture, ilu sano v'richa koalachas kama v'chama. If he would hate him, it would be all the more worse. So the idea of Yitzchak having this great affection for Esav was he showed him great affection. There's nothing wrong with loving a person. We don't have to be the ultimate judge. It's God's role to be the ultimate judge. We just have to help however we can. And the bottom line is, once a child has reached a certain age that they're really making their own decisions, probably one of the greatest things we can do to be helpful is to just show them that we love them. And we do love them. We do love them. It might break our heart to see them do certain things or not do certain things, but that doesn't mean we don't love them. And he quotes, for anyone who was here for the previous talk, I heard Rabbi Weinberg was talking about this also. Li'olam te'yumin mikareves u'smol docha. We should always be the kinds of people who bring close with the right hand, the stronger hand, and occasionally pushing away with the left hand. I want to conclude with a story. Some of you have heard me tell this story before. When I was a young rabbi in Bethesda, Maryland, I once got a cold call from a fellow who says he lives in Chevy Chase and he and his fiance want to have an Orthodox wedding. And would I please be interested in conducting an Orthodox wedding? I said, okay, I'm happy to talk to you. I never met these people in my life. And by the way, if anyone's curious, how did he come to be? Because Bethesda's the closest place with Orthodox children to Chevy Chase. So that was, I was the home turf, okay? So I tell them, I say, you know, if you want to have an Orthodox wedding, it involves a lot of things. An Orthodox wedding is not only the service, an Orthodox wedding is kosher meal. I would want you to be aware of family purity laws. We need to talk about family purity laws. And they said, okay, we'll do that, Rabbi. Fast forward the story. Obviously, I consulted very much with Rabbi Einar Zichron Levracha, person involved with outreach, sort of what I should emphasize to them, what I shouldn't emphasize to them in terms of family purity and things like that. But the bottom line is, on a certain level of family purity laws, they kept them for a year. I hadn't known these people before they wanted to. So I asked them at some point, as I got to know them more, I asked them, you'll forgive me for asking, why in the world did you want to have an Orthodox wedding? What was it about an Orthodox service? And the woman told me as follows. She said, I grew up in a frum home. No, excuse me. My mother grew up in a frum home. Sorry. My mother grew up in a frum home. And by the time I was born, my mother had decided that she didn't want to be observant anymore. My father wasn't an observant person. My mother had clearly left the approach. But the family would always invite us to the simchas. And growing up, I went to numerous multiple weddings of the broader family, and they were all frum weddings. And my idea of a wedding growing up was a frum Orthodox wedding. And when I met my fiance, and we were talking about getting married, I knew the only kind of wedding I would like to have would be a wedding that my cousins from Borough Park would feel comfortable being at. Okay? I was amazed by that. Here's the next part. Kol hakavod to them. Some of the cousins from Borough Park came to the wedding. Okay? And my wife and I sat at a table with them, the Orthodox weirdos table, that was us. And they're talking to me. Now they, of course, are looking at me that I'm this outreach dynamo who somehow inspired their cousin. This is amazing. This is unbelievable. So one of them turns to me and says, how did you convince our cousin to have a frum? And I said to them, I didn't convince her. You did. And they had no idea what I was talking about. And that is, in a sense, humbly, the modern day version of the lesson of that medrash that we just ended off with. Just love, just treat them as part of the family. Again, there are so many questions, there's so many difficult questions. But in a broader level, if we can A, just to sum up, if we can A, try to not beat up on ourselves. The giants of the world had such problems. Remember that things can always change. Remember that everyone needs to have their own free will, and it could be that our relative is exhibiting their own free will. That doesn't mean we're doing it wrong. To remember that we have to be people of patience, to try to emphasize the positive, to try to see the positive in them, to try, if it's relevant, and we're not going to be offensive, to try to give them opportunities to channel that own positive, and to just keep on loving them. This, and humbly, I think this is from the greatest challenges that people in the frum community live with. And but there are so many, and they're clearly the minority, but there are so many beautiful stories of things that changed at some point or another. And just to keep that line of communication open, one never knows. And tefillah, we always need to daven. Like that story we said with the stipes, we always need to daven. Again, I'm happy to stay if anyone has any questions or comments, but whoever wants to leave should be so free to leave. I'm sorry for going over. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. Have a wonderful day. We should all be zocha to much nachas.
Thank you.
Thank you. What? Really? Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.